Okay, we're starting Sanhedrin. Before we start the actual Mishnah, which you don't have the Gemara, but goes for the Mamish the next page and a half. What the Mishnah did over here, they took all the Mishnayos of the entire Perek and just stuck it into one Mishnah in the Gemara. Okay, Sanhedrin obviously deals with the concept of the judiciary system in Yiddish court. Just a few things of introduction. Brings out a very good introduction here. Number one, the Torah says, "Ela mishpatim shetosim lifneihem." These are the laws that you should put before them. Gemara says, "I know this is going to put lawyers out of business, but according to Halacha, a Jew is not allowed to take a Jew to secular court, even if they rule the same ruling like in Jewish court. It's still forbidden for a Jew to take a Jew to a secular court." And in fact, the Gemara says, it's like you deny the entire Torah, it's like you worship idols, wow. Because you're basically saying that the Hashem system is no good. The only time a Jew does have a heter to take another Jew to court is if Beis Din gives him permission to take him to court. Like, for instance, if Beis Din will send out what's called a hazmona, Beis Din sends out the summons to come to court. So Beis Din sends a summons, the guy refuses, ignores the summons, Beis Din will send out a second and a third. After the third hazmona that the person didn't answer, or they answered, "I'm not coming," so then Beis Din will send out what's called a siruv. A siruv is a document of refusal that the person refused to come to Beis Din. It depends how strong the siruv is. Basically, the siruv will then allow the person to take the other person to court, according to Jewish law. Or if a person says to Beis Din, "I'm not interested in Beis Din, I'm not coming to court," he's not religious, he says, "I'm not coming to Beis Din," so then many times at the beginning, Beis Din will give him a heter to go to court. But otherwise, without that, it's forbidden for a Jew to go to court. Sometimes if a Jew refuses a summons three times, they don't do it so much today because of politics, but they would actually write a star siruv, which means that person is not allowed to be counted for a minyan. He can't give him an aliyah. He can't be a chazan. He can't do business with the guy. It's a form of excommunication. Bati dinim don't do that much. So that's the system.
What if there's a verdict and somebody doesn't accept it?
If there's a verdict in Beis Din and somebody doesn't accept it, so again, they give you permission to go to court. The way it works today in Beis Din, in the last many years, when you go to Beis Din, obviously, what power does Beis Din have? Seemingly nothing. But it's not true, because when you go to Beis Din today, any organized Beis Din, when you go to Beis Din, you actually sign a document of binding arbitration. Anytime you go to Beis Din, you sign a paper, a legal document, which is written by lawyers, that you're actually signing binding legal arbitration. So if a Beis Din rules, let's say you and I are in court, and Beis Din rules that you owe me money, okay, and you say, "I'm not paying," so you can take that arbitration to court. Beis Din will give you permission to take it to court, and the court will enforce that, because it's binding arbitration.
Like
ketubah? Ketubah is nothing in court today. It depends on the judge, but as a rule, ketubah is nothing in court. But I'm saying, because it's binding arbitration, okay, when you go to court, the court's going to see that you already were in a court of you that you accepted, and so then the court will enforce that, and it happens many, many times, that the court will enforce the judgment of Beis Din because it's binding arbitration. Okay, that's it. Now, there are different levels. There's three general levels of Beis Din. There's a Beis Din of three. And in fact, that's what the whole first mission is discussing. How much of a Beis Din do you need for various things? There's a Beis Din of three, there's a Beis Din of 23, and there's a Beis Din of 71. A Beis Din of three is to deal with monetary issues. In fact, the whole mission is going to say what dinim is enough three. Then you have a Beis Din of 23 to give capital punishment. 23 is able to give capital punishment. And then you have the 71, which is the Beis Din. You know, the Beis Din HaGadol Yishuv Yerushalayim. And that does a lot of things that can make the ultimate decisions. Now, the Rambam writes in his introduction that initially there was never an argument in Halacha. Because in the time of the Beis Din system, if a lower court did know the ruling, they went to the bigger court, the Bezdin of Chov Gimel. If they didn't know the ruling, they went to the Bezdin of 71. If they didn't know the ruling, they debated it, argued it out, you know, worked on it, and then the Torah says you follow the majority opinion. Now, in most things, in halacha, a majority opinion is one. Like if it's 2 and 1, if you have bezin of 3, in monetary rulings, you have a bezin of 2 and 1, so, I mean, 3, so 2 say guilty, 1 say innocent, in the finale, whatever it is, then you go by the majority. When it comes to death sentence, capital punishment, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, le'siachere rabim l'rois, that you need a majority of 2. In other words, in halacha, there's no such thing as an even number bezin. It's 3, it's 23, it's 5 sometimes, we'll see. It's 71. There's never an equal amount in a bezdin because then you can have a hung jury. Like in the secular system, you have 12 in a jury. So if it's 6 and 6, you have a hung jury. In Torah, that doesn't exist because you need an odd number to be able to have a majority opinion. Now, when it comes to capital punishment, you need a minimal bezdin, as the Mishnah is going to say, a minimal bezdin of 23. Of the 23, you can have 12 and 11. If 12 say guilty, capital punishment, and 11 say no, you don't give them capital punishment. It has to be basically 13 and 10. Because you need a majority of 2 to give capital punishment. So if 12 say innocent, and 11 say guilty, so obviously the guy's innocent. But in order to be able to give capital punishment, you need, in a bezin of 23, you need at least a 13 to 10 ratio, because one majority of 1 does not give capital punishment.
And how much does a bezin of 3, I mean, they spend time, they
They charge.
They charge, right.
Of course they charge.
Right.
It's cheaper than lawyers.
Okay.
But they of course they charge.
Yeah, sure.
Even though they're not supposed to. Halachically, they're not supposed to. But the reason what they charge is what's called schar batala. They could have been doing something else instead. They don't charge for the din Torah. They charge for the same thing with teachers teaching Torah. You're not supposed to charge and all that.
Who do they charge? The plaintiff or who do they charge?
Both sides pay. Let's say both sides pay $150 an hour. That's what they pay per hour. They figure out how many hours it's going to take. And they pay other. I mean, it depends what the best is. But let's say $150 per hour. Both sides pay. Okay, then, because the dread dayanim have to get paid, that's all. Okay, now let's see the Mishnah. This time, a brief introduction to this in entire concept of the dayanim. Okay. Now, technically, one more thing. When it comes to monetary dinim, even though the Mishnah picker of it says, Alti don yechidi, but in halacha, if both sides accept one judge to judge the case, then it's fine also. If you accept, you could even accept, if both sides accept relatives. Now, relatives normally cannot be judges. But if both sides accept them, then there's no problem. You can have whatever you want.
Only dinim
amanus. Only dinim amanus, yeah. Talk about dinim amanus. Okay.
Rabbi, in the monetary, they can sue them because emotionally hurt or something, or just can you get the same prices in emotionally or something?
There's no suing in Bezdin. And there's no appeal in Bezdin officially. Officially, you can't appeal a Bezdin's ruling. You can say to the Bezdin, Mehechen Dantuni, you can say to a Bezdin, I want to know the reason why you judged me. Even though usually today, Batidinim, as a rule, don't give the reasoning. Batidinim will tell the plaintiffs and the defendant, if you have an issue, get a rabbi to call us and we'll explain to him the reasoning of our psak, because in lay people's minds, you know, there's Torah rulings and a lot in today's din Torahs, in monetary issues, a lot is taken into account dina de machlus adina, the law of the land. That's taken into consideration a lot. Just to give you a simpler case, if according to halacha, if a kid damages you, kid under bar mitzvah damage you, they're potter, and the father's not obligated to pay for it. Okay, and therefore the Gemara says, "Cheresh shaitev a cotton, a deaf mute, a retarded, and a kid." Pigyas and Ra, it's very bad starting up with them. If they damage you, they don't have to pay. If you damage them, you have to pay. So according to the technical halacha, if a kid, like in school, there's always fights, he broke my glasses, and you know, all that stuff. So in halacha, tough luck, there's no payment from the kid, from the parent of a kid. But because in civil law today, parents are responsible for what the kids do, so then even halacha would say you have to pay for it.
Is the procedure to choose a bet in, if one side...
Okay, just one last thing. There's certain times with this... Okay, this is a very important thing, by the way. There's two general types of a bezdin. There's what's called bezdin kavua, an established bezdin in the city. Okay? Then you have to go to that bezdin. But there's another way of doing it that halacha says is even better, and that's what's called zabla. Zabla is an acronym, Zayin Beis Lamed Aleph, Zeh Beder Le'echod. That means the plaintiff picks one judge for him, the defendant picks one judge for him. Not that he's going to rule in his favor, but he's comfortable with this judge. He's comfortable with this judge, and the two judges pick a third. Okay. And as a rule, it's very difficult to disqualify. If you pick somebody as your judge, it's very difficult for me to disqualify. I have to come up with a real good reason that to disqualify him. But you can't disqualify. And the Gemara says, because then everybody is more comfortable. Everybody is more comfortable because I feel at least this guy was at least looking for my benefit. It doesn't mean he's going to rule like you. Most of the time they don't rule like you. But they're in your favor, that you trust them, that they're out for your interest. And there's one more thing that I just want to mention. And even in a din Torah, you have two types of a din Torah. You have a din Torah that says, this is the halacha, period. And then, Beis Din many times will do what's called pshara karav ladin. They'll do a compromise close to the din. A lot of times, Beis Din feels, in the interest of the system, it's better to make a compromise, a settlement. But they don't stop make a random... One guy's for sure guilty to pay, and it's ridiculous. They're not going to make a pshara. They're going to say, yeah, you have to pay, or you have no right to the money. You know, sometimes people say, I have a right to the money. I did this, I did that. Beis Din will say, you know what? I mean, it's ridiculous. There's no... you don't have to pay. But sometimes Beis Din will make a compromise close to the din, because again, that seems to be work better. But it's up to the thing of the Beis Din. Then you have a whole thing in Chayshe Mishpat, a whole siman, a long siman, Chayshe Mishpat, siman Chafei, that discusses what happens if the Dayana made a mistake. Do they pay? Don't they pay? Who has to pay the damage? Sometimes the judge has to pay from his own pocket. If he made a certain type of mistake, you know, if I say you had to pay somebody, and you pay the guy, and the money is gone, and then it was a blatant mistake that you didn't have to pay, the courts would sometimes have to pay from their own pocket to you because they damaged you. Okay, anyway, let's see the Mishnah inside them. Okay, so you have copies of the Mishnayos because, again, like we said, the first Amid and a half is just the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this, Dine Mominis, immonetary issues, and by the way, all these things, the Gemara's Rashi says, the Gemara's going to learn out from Pesukim. Dine Mominis, all monetary cases, B'shloish are judged by three people. Gzelis, if somebody steals, in other words, sometimes you have to know, you have to get it back, you have to sometimes pay kefil, you know, that basically refers to stealing somebody's property, or chavilis, or damages. You know, we know if there's somebody damages somebody's body, there's five damages, nezik, tzar, ripa, shevis, and beishis. As the pasuk says, they have to pay five different types of damages. That also is in a court of three. Nezik v'chatzi nezik, claims of full damages and half damages, or, I'll explain in a second, tashlume kefal v'tashlume abar v'chamisha, it's also b'shleisha, a court of three. Okay? Now, the din is like this. If my axe damages your property with goring, okay, the Torah says, if my axe gores your axe, so the din is, there's a tam and a mu'ud. A tam is the first three times the ox gores, he pays half damages. After three times, The owner was warned, he has to pay full damages. Okay, that's what the Torah says. So to decide how much the damage is, whether it's whole damages or half damages, that a bezdin of three is enough to decide. Because again, this is all monetary issues. Tashlume keifa, when a ganav steals something, you have to pay double. Or what's called tashlume arba v'chamisha, if a person stole an animal and shechted it or sold it, so then you have to pay four or five times the amount, depending if it's a sheep or an ox. So again, that's all decided by bezdin of three. Ha'enis amefate v'ametzi shemra. Somebody claims against anus is somebody who rapes a girl, mefate seduces a girl, or metzi shemra, as the Torah says, a guy marries a girl, and then he says she's not a psula, and she committed adultery after the kedushin, so then you go to Bezdin, and this, you have to pay 50 shekel kesser, whatever the settlement is, that bishleisha. That also, Bezdin of three is enough, divrei Rameir. Chachamim emrim, the Chachamim say, no, Meitzi Shemra, if somebody accuses his wife that she's not a psula and therefore she committed adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage, the Chacham say you need a Bezdin of 23. Why? Because it could come eventually to capital punishment. Because if the woman is guilty that she did commit adultery, then she was an Eishes Ish, committed adultery, she gets killed. So Rav Meir was only looking at the financial settlement of 50 shekel kesef. The Chachamim say, here's another one. Chachamim say that you need a bezdin of 23 because it could come to capital punishment, because if the woman's guilty, then she's an adulteress and she gets killed.
So if there's no bezdin of 23, this case is...
Today there's no bezdin of 23 anyway.
Such a case wouldn't be judged.
No. Today, there's no capital punishment today.
At that time, anyway, the sort of law wouldn't apply for the woman that was engaged but not married, of the dam. You don't do a sort of...
Sure you do. So they listen also, yeah.
So say they go through that process.
Yeah, sure.
Is the Motzi Shemra the same as defamation of character?
No, that's normally. Motzi Shemra normally means defamation of character. I say you're a mamzer when you're not, you know, something like that. But Motzi Shemra that we're talking about here, that is when a guy says, Thursday, he married his woman, the first night came, she's not a psula, and he's accusing her of committing adultery between the kedushin and the marriage. That's the Meitzi Shemra that the Gemara is talking about over here. But
doesn't Nezek always have chavalah to it, bodily injury to it?
No, I could damage your property. I can break your window. If I throw a stone into your window.
Oh, okay, so it's property damage?
Nezek is any damage. It could be property damage, it could be bodily damage, it could be any, yeah.
So when Nezek is bodily damage, how is it different than Chavalot?
No, then it's called Chavalot.
Then it is.
Or Chavalis, as we think. Yeah, the Nezek could be any type of, my ox scores your ox, somebody breaks a window, I mean, whatever, I smash your car. That's Kabilis is bodily injury, but Nezek is general damages. Okay, Makis Bishleisha. If somebody has to get makis, let's say he was warned not to eat chazer, and he ate chazer, the punishment is lashes, 39 lashes. How much of a bezin do you need? Shleisha. Three. Now, three people can rule that the guy ate chazer, that's based on the testimony of two witnesses, and then bezin would kill him. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, they said, be'esim v'shleisha, you need for malchus bezin of 23. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain it, but the din is because they learn it out, because he learns Gzeira Shava between Makis and death, and just like death needs 23, so he learns from the Gzeira Shava that Malkus also needs 23. But the Chachamim hold, Malkus is 3. Now obviously again, how does somebody get Malkus? There are two witnesses that had to warn, two kosher witnesses, that had to warn him that he's not allowed to eat it. Right before he's eating it, after warning him he's not allowed to eat it, he doesn't care and he eats it anyway, so then he gets Malkus, 39, or whatever they estimate him that he can handle. So again, that is enough a bezdin of 3.
Rabbeinu, what do you mean estimate to see how much he handles?
How much he can handle in the lashes. He has a doctor's exam. The doctor examines him to figure out, because you can't get more than 39 lashes. That we'll see later in the Gemara. Okay? You can't get more than 39 lashes, but you can get less. If a person is not able to get 39 lashes physically, then they'll give him less, as long as it's a number divisible by 3. They're not going to give him 8 lashes. If he can only handle 8, they're going to give him 6. It has to be a number divisible by 3, and not more, but less. Understand? And therefore, the din is, if let's say Bezdin estimated that the guy can have 12 lashes, okay, and at number 10, the guy died, the guy that gave the Malkus is Potter, because he didn't do anything wrong. If they estimated that he can have 12, and he gave him 13, and the guy died, then the Shliach Bezdin is called a murderer, because he gave more than he was supposed to, and because of him, he died.
Therefore, the lashes are real lashes.
Lashes are real lashes, like in Singapore, not over here, the Erev Yom Kippur, you go over.
Your opinion on 1822 for Malkus is because possibly a death exists?
No, because he learns it out from a pasuk, the Gemara says later. Binakar Yisarosh, and whatever. It's a pasuk from a pasuk.
If you have multiple sins, you only do it once, right?
No.
So that they after it's done, they do it again.
Yeah.
For different time? Same time?
Different time. No, you can't. You guys not going to be able to handle it.
After recovery.
You eat chazer 10 days in a row. Each day you were warned, you get 10 times 39. See, that's why in those days they didn't sin. You sin, you have to bring a carbon. It's expensive. You have to schlep to Yerushalayim. It's not worth the effort. Today it's a machayit to sin. You sin and that's it. You go further. In those days, you sinned. You ate treif, man. You got lashes. It hurt.
You didn't pay. Stronger.
Huh?
Or even become stronger.
You become stronger. What?
If there's no Beitin of 23 now.
We have no Bezin B'chal of capital punishment today.
Lashes
also not.
So if a person wants to take someone to court for that, they automatically go to the regular courts?
They have to go to Bezin.
Doesn't
you mean what? If somebody kills somebody, you want to take them to court?
Something, I don't know. Or even
so give me an example.
Yeah, someone kills or I don't
so
know.
That the job police do.
Huh?
The police do that.
So how about the ones involving just lashing? Like, for example, it wouldn't qualify for a secular court, but now we don't have 23 judges.
You can't send somebody to Bezin to do the lashes. As in Moscow.
In Israel, they don't have it 23.
No, there's no capital punishment today. Okay, then Ibn HaChedish B'Shleisha. To make a leap month, not a leap year. Now remember, we learned that Bezin has to hear the witnesses to figure out, you know, if they saw the moon, they didn't see the moon, to make sure, because a month, it could be 29 days or 30 days. So in order to decide if the month is going to have 29 days or 30 days, if it's 30 days, it's called the leap month. Or 29, you need 3. Ibn Ashana, to the same thing, to make a leap year, if you need to add an extra month of Adar, because it's too early, then also, B'Shleisha Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. B'Shleisha Maschilim, they begin with a Bezin of 3 discussing if they should, you know, entertain the concept or not. U'B'Chamisha, and then they discuss it with 5 judges. The game and Bishiv, and they end up with 7 judges. And the Gemara is going to explain, Rashi says, the Gemara is going to explain this concept later. So according to Rav Meir, you only need 3 for Ibn HaChedesh and Ibn HaShana. The Rav Shimon Gamliel says you start with 3, and you get 5, and then you end up with 7. Reb Gomer Begimbel, what happens if they just made it with 3? They didn't go to the 5 and the 7. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel says Mubaris is still valid, and the leap year and the month year, it's all done. What?
Could Beit Din judge goys too?
Sure. If 2 goyim agreed to go to Bezdin, in old times, a lot of goyim, in fact, would go to Bezdin because they knew Bezdin had the Torah, and they believed that the Jewish judges were not bribed, not corrupt. So a lot of goyim, even in the shtetls in Europe, a lot of goyim would go to the rabbi. The Meral Miprag, it says, used to judge a lot of goyish cases because they respected him, they revered him in Prague, right? So they would he would paskin them.
You have to judge them differently?
No, if they come to you, they you judge them according to Torah law.
Okay. Yeah, but the goyim have different.
No, but I'm saying if they're coming to you, that means they want to hear what Torah law says.
But the same punishment you give to a Jew.
No, they're not going to give. They didn't judge capital punishment cases.
No,
they judge monetary cases. No, just money. You can't judge.
Not according to Sheb Ben Enola.
No.
In Morocco, they were the Jewish rabbis. People would come and they would decide whether they want him to be judged according to Islamic law, and they were versed in both laws,
okay,
or Jewish law.
Yeah, but you can do that also if a guy money coming. But no, what were you just saying? Oh, capital punishment. There's another machlekes in Poskim today, a very big argument. Somebody wrote an article, like in English, 25 pages about it. What is the Jewish view of capital punishment today in the secular system? And as according to Torah law, capital punishment today is good or not good? It's a big, big, big machlekes in Allah. Anyway.
Whatever, like a boy comes to the court, he's not liable for shor muad, you know. He's not so how would you judge him for shor muad, for example? Because as a boy, he's putter.
No, so in the Gemara later, we'll see that it's much later. But in Rambam Shulchan Aruch, it says that...
What's shor muad?
It was racist, one side. There's a little racist in this. But... If in Goyish Shalom the guy's guilty, like for instance, in Goyish Shalom, if my ox damages your ox, even the first few times, you still pay full damages.
Yeah.
So if a Goyish ox damages a Jewish ox, Beis Din is going to rule you have to pay full damages.
Yeah, that's what I meant, but different judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, but you, if two Goyim come, then it's all
it's the same.
But if a Jewish ox damages a Goyish ox, then they go by Jewish law. That's what it says in Halacha. Okay. Smichas Kenim. Smich of the elders. Okay. Varifas Egla Rufa. And the decapitation, the knocking off the head of an Egla Rufa, is done. Bishloisha Divrei Rab Shimon. Now it says like this. If there was what's called Zok or Parhelum Davod, which means if Bezda made a mistake, Beis Din ruled incorrectly, and most of the Jews did it based on the ruling of Beis Din. So Beis Din has to bring a korban for the tzibur because they made a mistake. And over there, you needed the concept of smicha, putting your hands on the animal. So it says that whole halachic thing has to be a Beis Din of three. Or, if you find a dead body outside the Egla Rufa, right, the end of Pashas Kisei, so you find a dead body outside of a city, and you don't know who killed it, so you measure it to the closest city, and then the skenim of that city go out, and they bring a calf, and you chop off the head, and the whole thing. So again, the Rab Shimon holds, you need three, Rab Yudai Mevchamisha, Rab Yudai says five. Chalitza, Umiyun, Bishleisha. Chalitza, is, you know, instead of Yibum, a guy who has a brother died without kids, so you have to either marry her or do Chalitza. You take off the shoe, you know the whole process. So how much of a Beis Din do you need for Chalitza? You need a Beis Din of three. Or Miyun. Miyun is like this. If a father has a right, we learned already in many times, a father has a right to marry off his daughter as when she's under Bas Mitzvah. Speaking of Sati Lishazeh, a father has a right, and they used to do this a lot in the olden days, in biblical times. A father would marry off his daughter under Bas Mitzvah. It was just a very practical reason. They had no money to support the girl, let the husband worry about it. So he found a guy who was willing to marry this young girl, and the father, when he married off the girl, it had a din of biblical kedushin. Even though the girl didn't have any say in the matter, the father was able to do it. It had a din of biblical kedushin. If they ever wanted to break up, they needed a full-fledged get. Then there's something called miyun. Miyun is, if there's no father, the girl's an orphan, so the din is rabbinically, the brothers or the mother can marry off the girl to somebody. And the reason why they did it, and that also either for the same reason that they should be able to support them, the husband should support the girl, or... In those days, you know, girls in the street, Goyim would come and rape them, and who knows what, would kidnap them, rape them, whatever. So they would marry them off. okay, for their safety. Then the din is, because it's only a rabbinic kedushin, the girl has a right on the day of her, when she becomes bat mitzvah, she has a right to say, I refuse to stay with this guy. And then she's off. She's free.
No get.
No get.
How about that?
If, no, the father not. I'm saying if the father marries off the girl, she's stuck unless the guy gives her a get. Miyun.
No, the father.
It's regular kedushin. Regular kedushin. One second. Miyun means refusal. So if the girl is married off because she's an orphan, it's only if she's an orphan. If there's a father, the brother and the sisters can't do anything. I mean, the brother and the mother can't do anything. If the girl is an orphan, so then the brothers and the mother have a right, not the sisters, the brother and the mother have a right, halachically, to marry off the girl, but it's a rabbinic kedushin, and therefore the day she becomes bat mitzvah, or we see exactly the details, she can say, I refuse to be with this guy, and she's off, she doesn't need a get. She needs what's called a shtar miyun. She needs a document that shows that she refused, and therefore, otherwise people know she was married. How are they going to know that she to marry somebody else? So to do all that, a bezdin of three is enough. So chalitza, bezdin of three is enough. Miyun, a bezdin is enough. By the way, that's not done today. Today, the mother and their brothers don't do that stuff.
The father can?
They could, but they're not supposed to. No, the fathers used to mess up girls like that. Anyway, okay.
Isn't that the Rabbi Gershom's hair?
What? No.
Did you go to this? He didn't nullify this?
No. Netteravai. Okay. Netteravai umaisa sheni. Netteravai umaisa sheni. She'ein dom of yuduin bishleishim. Netteravai is like this. The first 3 years you have a tree, it's arla. Arla means it's forbidden to benefit from the fruits of the tree. It's not, by the way, the first 3 years that the tree bears fruits. It's the first 3 years after the planting of the tree. You're not allowed to benefit from the fruits. If you pick up a tree, especially without soil around it, and you buy a tree and then you plant it again in your backyard, you need to wait another 3 years. Okay? So the first 3 years, our law is forbidden. The fourth year, the Torah says, you need to take the fruits to Yerushalayim and eat it there. In other words, it's yours, but they must be eaten, or like Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni, you know, every in these cycles of the sabbatical, whatever, without going into now, Maisa Sheni is yours, but you have to take it to Yerushalayim to eat it. Then the Torah says, what happens if it's too much to schlep? So you can redeem it for money. Both Netteravai and Maisa Sheni. Netteravai means the planting of the fourth year. Maisa Sheni, you can redeem it for money. You take the money to Yerushalayim, and you have to spend the money in Yerushalayim on food. Okay? So it says, what happens if you have a question, how much the net of the value of the maaser is worth? So the din is, bezin would have to appraise it. How much of a bezin do you need? A bezin of three.
That's the 40 years. What do you do?
You eat it.
In the 40 years, you could eat it?
In the Chutzot, yeah.
And in Eretz Yisrael, you just stick to your Yerushalayim, or you need to place
them? No, they don't. Not that way. That's what you see. It's in the Israeli act, it's free from this. Yeah, not that way. Imai is truma, whatever. Okay.
Not just Yerushalayim. It has to be the Semitic.
No, it has to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, but we can see the details. Hakdeshes bishleisha. If somebody was makdish something, somebody sanctified, consecrated something of their property, and now they want to redeem it, so again, bezdin of three would be enough. Ha'erchin, if somebody says in Bechukais, it says, a guy says, erki olah, you know, my value, I'm donating to the Beis HaMikdash, again, bishleisha, bezdin of three is enough. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda argues and said, not he argues, but he says, echad mehem kohen. By erchin, one of the three has to be a kohen. You need a bezdin of three, but one needs to be a kain. Verkarkois, and if you want to evaluate a guy, consecrated land, he says, I'm donating this land, erchen of this field of belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So then it says, you need nine and a kain. V'adam kiyetzi b'hem, and also if a person to evaluate himself, if he said, erki olai, he said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need also ten. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
What happened to the Hametal Tolin? Erchin with Hametal Tolin?
Oh, Erchin, I'm sorry, skip that. Erchin of Metautlin is 3. Rabbi Yehuda holds land is 10.
What do you mean by Metautlin? Any value?
A guy gave the Gemara to the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you evaluate it? So you need a bezdin of 3. Rabbi Yehuda says one of them has to be a Kayin. Land needs 9 in a Kayin. Or a
you
person.
You always have to go to a Beit Din? Or you can't
if it's not clear cut, what the value of it is.
Who determines this clear?
If there's a clear market value, yes. But if not, then that's what he says, Shana, you're doing. Okay, now the Mishnah says the bezdin of 23.
But 10 is the even numbers.
Huh? But that's only an evaluation. It's not an evaluation, so it really doesn't matter. It's not a court case. Okay. Din in nefashis, capital cases, meaning if somebody committed adultery, somebody, you know, it's sin that the Torah says you get capital punishment, you need the judge, 23. Okay? Hareveh v'anirba, a beast that sodomizes a person, or a beast that was sodomized by a man, you know, in English, they had relations with an animal, so then it also is Esim v'shalish, is 23. Shenama, why? Because it says, V'harakta esa isha, the Torah says he killed a woman, v'esa behema taharegu, and he killed the animal. Okay? Therefore, just like the woman is 23, because she has to get killed, if she did such an aveda, because it's considered gilarai, it's forbidden, with capital punishment. So then, just like the woman needs 23, so the animal to kill, you also need 23. The same thing, shoran nisko, and an axe kills a person, so the din is, you stone the axe.
Such value for an animal, 23 judges to...
No, that's because the Torah likens the animal to the person. So just like the person, same thing with shoran nisko. Because it says, Asher Yisakel, the gamba all of you must. And the person should also be put to death, even though it doesn't actually mean killing him.
The owner.
The owner. It says, Kamisa's balan. So therefore, the fact that the Torah likens death of the owner to the death of this axe to the death of the owner, just like death of the owner would demand 23, so the axe also needs 23. Now, Hazev, Aadi, Dave, Anema, Bardalis, Anochish, a wolf, lion, bear, leopard, or Bardalis. Bardalis is, what did it say, a skunk. Or, kill a person. Misasim, Be'esrim, Vishalish. Again, you need 23 to kill. In other words, if a snake, in Torah law, if a snake bites a person and kills him, you need a bezin of 23 to rule that the snake needs to get killed. Rabbi Lezer, Amen. Rabbi Lezer says no. Kol akedim lahargin zoch. The first guy to kill the snake is good. In other words, he holds you don't even need a bezdin. The first opinion says if you see a snake, God forbid, killing a person, you have to take the snake, bring it to bezdin, and let the bezdin rule. Put it on the stand and let the bezdin rule about the snake. Rabbi Lezer says you don't need a bezdin. The first guy that kills him is good. Rabbi Kiva Ahmed, Misasim Basim Mishalsh. And the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Kiva seemingly is the first opinion. First opinion says 23. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara later is going to, Rashi says, the Gemara is going to explain the difference between Rabbi Kiva's opinion and their first opinion. Okay, then it says like this. Now we go to the big Bezdin of 71. So bottom line is, all monetary issues are 3. Malchus is also 3. Okay? Capital punishment, whether it's human or animal, bezin of 23. Right? That's what you need the bezin of 23 for. Now the Mishnah is going to say when you need the 71. So he says like this, ain't done in a shevet. What happened if a shevet, a tribe, started worshipping idols? So you need to judge them. Or Navi Sheker, if there was a false prophet that said prophecy and then he proved to be a false prophet. Or a Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol committed a capital offense, so out of respect to Kohen Gadol, you're not going to give him a bezin of 23. So then, Eina don elopi the bezin shall shivim ve'echad. Then you need a court of 71. So let's say Kain Gadol committed adultery, but he would get capital punishment. Out of respect to the Kain Gadol, they would judge him in the bezin of 71, not 23. Or a Navi Sheker, or then it says like this. Vein Meitzian the Mochemes Rishus, you cannot go out to an optional war. Okay? LLP Bezin Shil Shivim Ve'echad. In other words, like this. There's what's called Mochemes Mitzvah and Mochemes Rishus. Optional war and mandatory war. The Gemara later will explain. It's a big machlekis in the Gemara. What's what? What's called Mohammed. But at first, everybody says the Mohammed to conquer the seven nations, that's Mohammed's mitzvah. That you don't need a bezin of 71. The Torah says just you have to go out and fight. Mohammed's reshus basically means an optional war. What happens if, like David HaMelech wanted to go add more properties to Eretz Yisroel, but it wasn't from the seven nations, right? So then, that's called Mechemes Rishus. A Bezdin of 71 had to rule if you can go do it or not.
So he did that. Also, they changed halacha, the 71?
They don't change halacha. They tell you what halacha is. No, it says in order to go out for an optional war, you need the Bezdin of 71. A Bezdin of 23 is not going to be enough.
He did that. He got permission from the Bezdin.
No, they had to rule that you're allowed to do it, and then the Jews would go fight if they.
That's what.
Yeah. What?
If the Navi says to a Melech that you have to go fight.
If it's from the Navi, it's a different story. Now, Ein Meisifin Aloir Valazaris LLP Bezin Shul Shivim Echad. To add to the city of Yerushalayim, they wanted to expand the city of Yerushalayim. Or they wanted to expand the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, to make the Beis HaMikdash area bigger, it's only al pi shiv, a bezin shel shivim ve'echad. Okay?
Rabbi,
what?
Does the Melech have any saying in the matter? In the Beis Din?
A Melech was not allowed to sit in the bezin.
And he had no right to have any saying in the matter, veto. Any veto idea?
No, there's no veto power. It wasn't the president that has a veto power. There was no veto power by the king. The king followed the Bezdin.
Cannot do decrease the
certain things the king was able to do on his own. But a lot of things the Melech had to do based on the Bezdin of 71, or do it in Vitum and whatever. I mean, but they couldn't just stop and do whatever they wanted. Not a, this religion is not a free-for-all.
Is there a reason why the Mishnah is so long, as opposed to breaking into smaller Mishnahs?
That's just, in the Mishnah, it's like a separate Mishnahs.
Oh, yeah?
You look in the Mishnah, I think we're up
but
to Mishnah Gimel.
No
that's, whatever, that's the Gemara does it a lot of times. It's up to, who decided that, I don't know. What?
Can a Beit Din send a person to jail nowadays? And can a Beit Din nowadays send someone to
jail? There's no jail in Torah law as a punishment.
Oh, really?
Where do you find punishment?
Well,